The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doug Carskater out today. Happy Friday, everybody. Lions win. It's Victory Friday, and man, what a game. What a game. Lots to discuss, lots to unpack. Yeah, the injuries. Lee McNeil leaves with evaluated for concussion. They said it was a head injury, but they were specific in the broadcast to say not a concussion. Kevin Zeitler ended up in the tent. He came back. Brian Branch, they said, was reported as cramps. And with the D-line, when they lost Aleem McNeil, then they were down officially 10 defensive linemen. Aiden Hutchinson, Marcus Davenport, John Kaminsky, Wingo, Pecco, and Bada all on IR. Pascal, Levi, Reeder, and Aleem McNeil were all out. That's 10 defensive linemen. And the guys that filled in, they did a serviceable job. There was an interesting thing with the snap counts that I would not have expected, but it tells you a little bit about what they think of this player. Two guys, specifically Elkhwadi Muhammad, got 37 snaps at defensive end. Za'Darius Smith got 21. They really like Elkhwadi Muhammad. Za'Darius Smith made his presence felt on the first snap of the game, but Elkhwadi Muhammad got 37 snaps. Pat O'Connor, I mean, Kirk Herbstreit kept pointing it out on the broadcast. People were there. I don't know if you noticed as much, but he was collapsing the interior of the offensive line. I didn't see a pressure rate or hurry number or anything like that, but I suspect it was pretty good for Pat O'Connor. And how about this? Emergency break glass linebackers, Ezekiel Turner, 17 snaps. Quan Alexander, 17 snaps. David Long, 16 snaps. Quan Alexander signed last week. Ezekiel Turner came in a few weeks ago. David Long a few weeks ago. And Ezekiel Turner had a huge play on that third and long where had he not gotten Jordan Love on the ground, I think it was Reed coming wide open to the back of the end zone for the Packers. He would have been able to plant and throw. Wasn't able to do that because Ezekiel Turner got him on the turf. But, I mean, Miles Adams played 19 snaps on the edge. Jamal Adams played, he only played eight, but he started, which was interesting. Jonah Williams, Quan Alexander, and Jamal Adams all started that game on the defense. Guys who have just become Detroit Lions. Broderick Martin had two snaps all year. He started. Secondary was intact, and that's good. That might be the defense's superpower, if they have one, is the secondary. Superpower might be a bit strong, but I really like the secondary.
They've been something they can lean on, you know, especially with all the injuries up to the front seven you mentioned.
You're right, and they had that stat that the Lions had blitzed on five of the first seven pass drops. That's okay. We're going to have our guys in the back end play man-to-man, and the way we're going to create pressure is send everybody else, or many, maybe just one high safety or whatever the case may be. But the plan was our strength as a secondary will crowd the line of scrimmage and do more up front.
Yeah, and that's leaning on Arnold and Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson, Kirby, those guys. And you know, I'm loving the win last night. Everyone enjoy it, you know, victory Friday, which is something you normally don't get to do. But, I, you know, with the Lions playing Thanksgiving, we have a chance more than others. But I do want to point out that they gave up the most points they have this season, the Lions defense. And there, some of that was short fields. And some of that is because they have a lot of new players, like you mentioned. Looking forward in 10 days here, 9 days, when the Bills come, you know, it's going to be a tough battle, man. We'll see who's back. Hopefully, Aleem McNeil's back. Hopefully, they get a body or two here back. But, you know, it's Josh Allen is he's an MVP right now of the league, and he's a tough guy to stop on offense.
It feels as though it was none of these were long-term. Decker, Reader, Pascal, Onyeka. It doesn't feel like any of those were long-term. I think getting all those guys back will be great against the Bills. If they do indeed get them all back. But you're right. You know, I've said it. It feels like the defense is starting to slip back a little bit towards what it was a year ago. But what it was a year ago was tantalizingly close to being Super Bowl worthy. 248-539-9797. Collins in Farmington and on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Colin? Colin, are you there?
Oh, sorry.
Got you.
Yes,
now.
I'm here. Can
you
hear me?
Yep, got you. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to start the phone call with a couple callers ago. They said they wanted to keep Jonah Williams and cut Josh Pascal. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I...
That was interesting. I don't expect... To say that was
Colin, I guess I don't
weird.
Expect everybody to know all the rules. It is really tough juggling a 54-man roster when you have... A, this many injuries, and B, a lot of players you don't want to let go. But it is what it is. You can't keep more than 54 guys. You can get guys on the practice squad, but then they become susceptible to being plucked by other teams.
Right. So, but the original why I called in was I wanted to take a step back and look at it from the national media intention. And I don't call in often, but this pissed me off so much I felt like I had to. I was watching Get Up in their first segment, and Mike Greenberg, who, you know, you say what you want, you know, a lot of people listen to him clearly because he's on national media, and, you know, even though the Lions won, he was eviscerating Dan Campbell's decision, and no one, you know, yeah, they mentioned the people on IR, and of course, that's a clear reason why we went for fourth down, but also Lee McNeil went down during the game, and we didn't know what Brian Branch's status was when it came to overtime. To me, it's such an easy decision. Would you rather hinder on a fourth and inches call to win the game, or would you rather go to overtime and bank on the coin flip? I just don't understand their mentality in the national media, especially watching that game and seeing how the second half went when we started slipping and giving up a lot of points and a couple more starters went down. I really don't understand that mindset whatsoever.
So, look, I think if you are around this team and you kind of see the overall impact that Dan Campbell and the way he coaches has on the team, you realize it really is a net positive. And so I don't mind what other people say, but I don't let it bother me in the slightest. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But yeah, I saw Greenberg go off on him. There's one more. This is Bryant McFadden, the old... He's with the Steelers, played at Florida State. He's now with CBS. Here's what he had to say about the fourth down decision late in the game. So the biggest thing you got to keep in mind to me is that playoff or not playoff, that was a game that had playoff premium on it. That was a game to all but eliminate Green Bay from winning this division. And it's a playoff caliber team. So, no, the circumstances aren't the same as the NFC Championship game. But you know what? It was a huge game and a huge moment against a quality opponent. And it worked out for him. And he didn't want to give them the ball back with the current defense that he had. But, again, he's entitled to his opinion. I'm good with it. I've learned to live with Dan Campbell's decisions because overall, he is clearly a positive.
Like, I understand calling him Dan Gamble because the play on words rhymes with his last name and stuff like that, but it's actually a disservice to what he's doing. These are calculated risks. These are thought-out decisions. The blackjack analogy comes up a lot, or gambling analogy comes up a lot. That's taken away from what Dan Campbell's doing. This is a game of skill, not a game of luck like gambling is, you know, when you go to the tables at Las Vegas. Like, the only way it's the same is if Dan Campbell's counting the cards and he kind of knows what card's coming up next. Because when you go for it on fourth and one to close out a game, the kill shot, he's dictating what play he's going to run. He sees the defense, and Jared Goff has control of this offense where he can check in and out of plays. He knows where the strength is. I'm going to run behind Penei Sewell. I'm going to run with Montgomery. It's different. This isn't a roll of the dice. He's calling the shots here. He feels so confident in who he's using that, yes, it's a risk because it might not work. It's not 100% certainty, but it's not like this, hey, let's flip a coin risk. You know what I mean? Like, this is not like, hey, hit me on blackjack risk.
You're right. It's not all luck.
That's what they make it seem
cards,
like.
Cards is all luck. I mean, look, if you're counting cards, there's strategy to it. But John is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Love the show. Hey, so a couple things. One, I'm always been a take the points guy. And the first year, I thought, oh, his kicker's not great. They don't trust their kicker. He's going to do this. But then I realized, no, this is just the way they're going to do things, which, okay, that's fine with me. I'm bought in. I don't even get stressed about it anymore. I just sit back and enjoy the ride, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Look, I thought he was doing it because he was undermanned, and it took me a while to realize, oh, my God, no, this is him.
No, this is what they do. The real point that I had, though, was I tell me I'm crazy. Tell me I'm under the wrong assumption. But on that fourth down play where they went for it right at the end of the game, they couldn't call another timeout.
They just called a timeout. They would have taken a five-yard penalty.
Everybody should have known they were going to snap the ball.
Well, they could have taken the five-yard penalty. They still would have been in field goal range, but they couldn't take the timeout.
Okay, so I didn't consider that. I'm like, why? What? They can't take another timeout. Even the announcers were saying it.
They could not have taken another. Even if they had tried to take a timeout, it would have been a five-yard penalty, and it would have backed them up to the 26-yard line, I believe it was.
Which isn't the end of the world. They still could have kicked the field goal from there. Yeah. Okay.
John,
all right.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Let's go to Dale next on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Dale?
The one thing I want to say on that fourth down play is that the Lions lead the league in pass interference calls. So it may help make his decision, because if Green Bay got the ball back, even if they kicked the field goal, one long Hail Mary, and it could be setting them up for at least tying the game. So I'm looking at that like maybe that helped make his decision.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it's maybe. I think it absolutely. He didn't want to give them the ball back.
I know he didn't want to get the ball back. So if he'd have kicked the field goal, there were like 39 seconds left, well, Green Bay would have got it in one Hail Mary, because it already happened twice in the game so far that they got pass interference calls on. So one long pass, and they might be setting up for a field goal or winning the game.
Well, it could also been two or three plays. They could have run multiple plays if they got out of bounds.
Yep, that's what I mean. They would have had a chance to, even though they didn't have any timeouts left, they would have had a chance to get downfield if he didn't go for it. So I agree with that, because I thought just that when I seen Goff start tripping, I go, oh, no. But as soon as he handed the ball off, you just look at the offensive line, you've seen the hole. He's got it. Before he even hit the hole, he's got it.
Dale, you have a firm grasp on what happened there at the end of that game. Thank you for the phone call. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many areas of the law. That's why they have the largest auto accident settlement and truck accident settlement in the state of Michigan. There's a level of care that comes with a Michigan Auto Law attorney, more like white glove service. They'll call you back right away. They take pride in their customer service. They return all phone calls within 24 hours. They care more so you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 to take a Gator out today. Although Gator emailed over his picks, and we'll have our picks. If I bet it, we do it every Friday at 1:40. Give you three college, three pro games heading into the weekend. Let's go to AD next on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, AD?
What's going on, Doug?
How we doing?
All right. Hey, you know what? I believe that he basically went for that and did that to not give them no more time, because what happened in the Chicago game last week, and I believe if Chicago wouldn't have screwed it up, they would have probably scored and win that game. Because like my other guy said, you get one little crappy pass interference play like they did in the Chicago game. And you know, if Chicago wouldn't have did those penalties and their coach wouldn't have messed it up, Chicago would, really should have won that game. So I'm thinking he wasn't going to give Green Bay a chance to do the same thing. Plus, Green Bay has a history of, you know, beating the Lions on last-second plays, and he wasn't going to let Love go down in history, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know that I ever would have put the probability of Chicago winning the game as I would. I don't know if I've ever put it at probable. Like, for instance, when Caleb Williams got sacked, the ESPN analytics had Detroit with a 93.9% chance of winning the game.
Yeah, but that bull crap and then a friend's call on Dildor, everybody in the world knew that was no pass interference. So he figured, like, hell, they might just call some bull crap again, so I'm not even going to give them a chance.
Yeah, of course, and they could have completed a pass for a touchdown. At no point at the end of that game, in that drive, did Detroit's chances of winning the game dip below 55%. And all that stuff taken into account. I wouldn't describe it as Chicago probably would have won the game. They had a better chance and they screwed up the clock.
I mean, like you said, so far as statistics, if they wouldn't have got those two penalties that drove them back, you know, they was in good condition to at least tie it. But again, Chicago kind of screwed it up on themselves. It wasn't really the
whatever percent chance they have, they made it less by screwing up the end of the game. Yes. And then did it impact his decision making? Might have. As he says, each game's different. And he had told the team during the week, we're going to be really aggressive and go for it a lot on fourth down in this game. So something about that matchup. He felt like he was going to need to do that. Rob is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great.
So, you know, I am so used to this whole coaching staff and the upper management just putting everything together. I would be screaming if the Lions wouldn't go for it on fourth down, fourth and one to fourth and three. I would be like, what are you doing? Why are you kicking a field goal? Or why are you punting? Are you kidding me? You got to go for it. Last year, I was screaming, what are you doing? What are you doing? Now I'm so used to it, I'd be actually disappointed and mad.
Rob, I'm a big believer that you owe it to yourself and everybody around you to be who you are. How much worse would it be if you went out of character and lost the game, as opposed to if you were true to yourself and your beliefs and lost the game? You know, be who you are. Now, he's not going to go for it every fourth down he comes across.
No, he's not.
And every fourth and one in his own territory, he's not going to go for it. And I suspect every fourth and one late in a game where he's a chance to go ahead field goal, there are probably times where he will kick the field goal. But, you know, this is who he is, and I'm always a big believer in whatever your philosophy is, own it and run with it. Otherwise, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Absolutely. I can't be any prouder of this organization because the Lions organization has been, beat up. We're laughingstock. Now everybody's now talking how, you can't do this. You're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to do this. Well, you know what? Stop being jealous. Campbell's doing a great job. The players are amazing. The front office, all his coaching staff. And guess what? Now we're beating the snot out of the competition for once. Bye.
Rob, thanks. Bill is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. I listen to you every day. You keep me connected to Detroit. I live in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, cool. So thanks for all the hard work that you guys put in. I'm missing Gator today, but I just got to say that this coaching staff has been exceptional. The fact that the defensive guys got announced before the game was incredible. What an experience for them to have. The kid from Eastern who started, and they're playing well. Their D-line coach has done a great job. So it's what a time to be alive, you know?
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, this feels like an alternate reality. I'm getting texts. I got a text from my cousin Ray in New York who was like, your team's fun to watch. And he said he usually doesn't seek out prime games, but he did it because the Lions are fun to watch.
It's a great experience. I travel a lot for work. I'm wearing my Lions gear everywhere I go, and I make friends in the airport just by having Lions gear on. But I just want to call and say thank you guys for what you do, and one pride. Let's keep it rolling, and let's not worry about what Dan Campbell's doing. He's doing the right thing. We would have been kicking field goals with Jim Caldwell and Schwartz and everybody and lost. And so we're winning, and let's embrace that because big things to come, right?
Yep. Got Cousin Ray in New York. I got my cousin-in-law in San Diego. Scott listens to the show every day. He knows more about the Lions than probably anybody in San Diego because he listens. And they also lost their team. So he's got him. He doesn't have anybody. He doesn't have a dog in the fight anymore. So, and these guys, everybody says the Lions are just fun to watch.
They're like America's new team, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not going to last forever.
No, but I mean, I think it's got some staying power, though, to be honest with you. I don't think the Lions become annoying, and they haven't won the Super Bowl or anything yet, so they're still that team that, you know, up-and-comer team that everyone's rooting for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think until that happens, and if that happens, then you might get a little backlash.
You know what? If we win the Super Bowl, I'll take whatever comes with it, Doug.
I really don't care.
did you know yesterday was the three-year anniversary of Dan Campbell's first victory as Lions head coach?
Was it really?
Look how far we've come, man. That team became 1-10-1 after that victory. And yesterday, the Lions just won 11 games in a row.
That's amazing. I think they've won 37 games then. That's crazy. And they also clinched the playoffs.
Yesterday, yeah.
Which isn't...
It's not even being talked about. Like it's, we expected it.
We're in hour four here, and it's the first time we mentioned it. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson. Look, I almost feel like we need to prepare for the time when Dan Campbell gambles, and it costs him. I don't think it directly cost him the San Francisco game. I think there were far more egregious mistakes in that game than a drop pass on that fourth down. Because I think about, okay, what are the probabilities of making these plays? Probably the most costly mistake in the San Francisco game, it wasn't the fourth down decision. It was a fumbled exchange. Exchanges between quarterbacks and running backs should be 100%. And a fumbled exchange gave San Francisco a short field. Then I would say it was the face mask catch. Because that, A, should have been intercepted. B, should never have been complete. C, turned out to be a 50-yard gain. The probabilities of those plays going wrong were really, really low. And they did. The fourth down drop, I mean, again, the call to go for it when you execute a play that is a very makeable play. But then there was a third down drop as well. And other mistakes, but I don't put that at the top of the list. There will be a time where they lose a game where Dan Campbell's fourth down call is at the top of the list. It's something I'm okay with, and I keep going back to it because the net is way positive for what Dan Campbell's doing. They get a lot more good out of it than bad. And as Kang pointed out, for those that want to make the hitting on 17, does it make it the right move? This is not a game of luck. This is not a game where there's hard and fast numbers in a game. There's skill. There's how the game's going. There's things like who you have left defensively.
Who the other team has defensively.
Who the other team has.
These are calculated risk, and it's not just, hey, throw it in the air and figure out, see what happens. No, man. He's got Ben Johnson on his side, Jared Goff, that offensive line, and he is fully, fully confident in them executing and ending the game.
There is out there on Twitter. I should see if I can find it. Maybe retweet. I was just looking at it from Emmanuel Acho of ESPN. The touchdown pass to Tim Patrick, the first one where Amon-Ra lined up in the backfield. He pointed out how the Lions broke the huddle. Amon-Ra's crouched over. You can't see him. And the Packers are looking for him. And they realize late in the play, wait, that's Amon-Ra. Jahmyr Gibbs is out there. They're running around. Fire drill defense trying to line up, the Lions snapped the ball. It was that was a formation touchdown. The The Lions lined up in a formation late in the play clock, paused for the requisite second, snapped the ball, and Green Bay was all discombobulated. And through the discombobulation, Tim Patrick was wide open.
Ben Johnson is a sicko, and I mean that in the most positive, you know, way possible. I love that guy. And yeah, he's always scheming up things. That's why when the Gibbs social media post went out there, I mean, they laughed it off. They're like, yeah, we'll change some verbiage, whatever. You know, people know what we want to do, but we're gonna do it anyways, right?
Yep.
And we're gonna find a way to do it another way if we have to. So not too worried about it. Offense is great.
Let's get back to your phone calls. Donald is next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Donald.
How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
All right, now, you know, I'm 65 years old, so you know where I've been throughout the years from the 70s, the ups and downs. Last year, I had my son who went to the sporting goods store to buy him some gear for baseball, and this kid was buying Lions gear. He said he had tickets to the Kansas City game. And, you know, I go, wow. I go, you actually think the Lions are going to go into Kansas City and beat the Super Bowl champions? You know, just from my experience with all the games that we lost in the last couple of minutes throughout the years. And then they actually won. So now we come up to this time, to the present. You know, I'm amazed what's going on. It's kind of hard to comprehend.
It is.
But what I'm concerned about is you talking earlier about the statistics about first downs. You know, I want to know the statistics on Terry Arnold with these pass interference calls, because I'm afraid he's going to blow our game, you know, one of these games towards the end, you know, for us to reach the Super Bowl. You know, how does he discipline, Dan Campbell discipline Arnold on those, you know, he seems like he gets one every game. And, you know, does he make them run laps or, you know, does he get fined? You know what I mean?
Well, no, because I'm sure he doesn't run laps, and I'm sure he doesn't get fined. They coach him, and they coach him harder, and they expect him to grow up, and he's a rookie in the NFL, and struggling with penalties isn't a huge surprise. It's actually not every game. I think he's had two since September. I'm going to go find him, but
yeah, they've got a lot.
Yeah, there was a bunch at the beginning of the year, and then they've cut back.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, you know. I'm just concerned about him that when we get towards the end, you know, and I disagree with you on that San Francisco game, because when they went for those two fourth downs, I was screaming at the top of my lungs to take the points, take the points. You got to take the points in a championship game. You could have went to the Super Bowl, you know, and in my lifetime, I don't know how many years I got left, but, you know, I thought I would, you know, it's day by day nowadays. You never know. Well, you know, we have another chance for a Super Bowl run. But you got to take the points in championship games, you know. I don't mind these fourth down calls, but when you're in a game like that, you have to take the points.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there only one fourth down call in the San Francisco game?
There was two of them. We lost 6 points because of those two fourth down calls. I'll never forget it because I was screaming at the top of my lungs, take the points. Those 6 points would have put us over, and who knows, you know. I know there was a lot of mistakes in that game, but you turned down 6 points that could have put us in the Super Bowl. But, you know, I was pissed about that. But otherwise, you know, now I'm concerned more or less about Terry Arnold, you know, and his past interference calls that, you know, I'm scared that when we get towards the end of this run, then he's going to blow a game for us, you know. And, you know, that's about all I had to say.
Well, look, he's gotten better, whether you want to hear it or not. It's only been two, I think, since September. There was a fourth down later in the game. It would have been a long field goal. And obviously, their field goal kicker wasn't as good as he's been this year. And there was a fourth down the beginning of the second half. So there was two of them. It would have been a long field goal. As far as Terrion Arnold, no, they don't fine him. No, they don't have him run laps. He had 7 holdings or pass interferences through the end of September. He's had two since. So you ask, what do they do? They've kept coaching him, and he's gotten better. He's gotten better. He had one in November, and now he's had one in December. So he went from 7 in the first month to 1 in the second month, 1 in the third. Is he going to commit another one? Yeah, probably. But he is getting better.
He also sounds like a guy who only likes it if it works, the risk,
kinda.
And if it doesn't work. I know kinda. He said in a championship game, but you don't change who you are all of a sudden. Hey, we're a running team. For the final game, we'll throw the ball. You know what I mean? Or vice versa. You are who you are.
I mean, we let him go on too long, but did you like all the fourth downs they went for it last night? Because they didn't take the points on multiple occasions last night, got touchdowns every single time, which is why they were tied at the end of it. If they'd taken the points, they would have been losing at the end. I mean, things would have been different, but I don't know. Let's get to our picks. Are you going to read Gator's pick? Gator not only sent his picks over to us, he wrote out his reasoning. Are you going to read it verbatim, Ken?
Yeah, so none of this is on me, people. I'm just reading off what Gator sent to me.
So you're going to read it verbatim?
Yeah, if you have issues, you contact Scott the Gator Anderson.
Okay, Boise's a 4.5-point favorite at home in the Mountain West Championship game, taking on UNLV. I like the home team with Genty to not only get the win, might be the best player in America, might get my Heisman vote. I'll take Boise to cover the 4.5 against UNLV.
Well, Scott the Gator Anderson, by the way, he finished 2-3-1 last week. He missed his lock of the week. Yep. And he's going to start off with the Boise State versus Nevada game. That's right. I don't know who you think they're playing, Doug, but I've got Gator over here versus Nevada. I'm sure he means UNLV. But,
I think so.
Yep, Boise State -4.5. It's in Boise, he writes. And then he says also they have everything to play for and more. So Genty, you know, he's going to come through. Nevada's solid, but he likes the home team in the blue field.
Okay.
Boise State.
Georgia's getting 2.5 against Texas. Remind me who won the first game. Doubled them up in points at Texas. I pointed out that Texas has 7 SEC wins. 6 of them came against the bottom 7 teams in the Southeastern Conference. I will car house lock Georgia in Atlanta in the SEC title game, getting 2.5.
Hey, Gator's going to go with the same game, but he's not going with the team. He's going with the number. Georgia, Texas in the SEC championship game. Total set at 50. He likes the over. These two are pretty evenly matched. We may see overtime, Gator expects, or possibly. Lots of scoring, though. Heartache, shootout. But he thinks it's going to be over 50 points.
Oregon is laying 5.5 against Penn State in the Big Ten title game. I don't think Penn State can score at the pace that Oregon does. And I don't think Oregon will Ryan Day it. I've got Oregon -5.5.
Gator's going with the same game as well. He's got Oregon as the best team in the country, and they will prove that by beating Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. They're used to travel at this point. James Franklin, he struggles in big games. Gator likes the Ducks -4.5 over the Nittany Lions.
Let's go to the NFL. I like Tennessee laying the 3.5 against a Jacksonville team with, what's his name? Starting a quarterback, the old Patriot Alabama quarterback, Mac Jones. I'll take Tennessee -3.5.
Gator writes, how about another shout out for those gritty kitties from the Motor City? Anywho, Kirk Cousins brings the Falcons home to Minnesota as a 5.5-point underdog. He says this has been a dreadful season for the Falcons, but Captain Kirk, he still has some power. And he likes to say, you like that? He's going to stun the Dirty Birds, and he likes the points in Minnesota.
He likes the points, or he likes Atlanta?
Atlanta? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Take the Dirty Birds and the points against Minnesota. Gotcha. My bad.
Carolina's getting 13 at Philly. It's been 5 weeks since Carolina's lost a game by as many as 13, and that included a game against Kansas City. I think Philly gets the win, and it might be comfortable, but I'll take Carolina plus the 13.
All right. Cleveland is getting 7 points on the road against Pittsburgh. Jameis Winston is still the quarterback, but he won't be upright for long with TJ Watt and company. Tomlin and his team has him rolling. The Terrible Towels will be full force. This is an amazing rivalry, but he likes the Steelers to cover the touchdown difference and remind everyone in the AFC that they're right in the thick of things.
San Francisco is a 3.5-point home favorite against Chicago. I like the 49ers start to get the train back on the tracks late in the season when they need wins. Chicago's got nothing left to play for. San Francisco -3.5.
All right, Gators' final NFL game is the Dolphins. They defend home turf against the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, they are 5.5-point underdogs. The warm weather reminds him of past retreats and explosive diarrhea, according to Gator. He may just stay in Miami after being benched at halftime. Take the Mammals -5.5. It's his shoot the boot lock of the week.
There it is. We don't bet, but if we did, actually, we kind of do. Those are our picks this week. Do with them what you will. Hey, tackle all NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now, Kang, do you like one or hate one? My bad. Which one do you like the most? Which one do you hate the most?
I like Gator's pick of explosive diarrhea in Miami. Yeah, I don't think Rodgers is going to be feeling too well in this game. Miami's much better team at home. They don't like the cold weather like South Florida, so I like that pick.
And which one do you hate?
The one I hate is, you guys both agree on the college game of the...
Oregon-Penn State or
yes,
Boise?
Oregon-Penn State. I don't like James Franklin, but he's going to win in spite of me.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen. There's always this weird upset in the final game. I think that may be it.
All right, there you go. Tackle NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if you win. FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need in one place. Live bets on the NFL, again, in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of a game, you can check out the latest stats, live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Doug. Never waste a hunch with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson out, although Gators... He's logged on to Twitch and he's chatting away with people. Let's go to Andrew on 97.1 A Ticket. What's up, Andrew? Andrew, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Happy Victory Friday.
That is right.
Yeah, I just wanted to get in here and give Tyrion a little more respect than he deserves. I can't get on the same page with these fans that are still just nitpicking every little single wrong thing that we do. What more could he do last night? You know,
it was a weird play. Like that one last night was really weird. And Andrew, you said you're going to give him more respect than he deserves. I don't know if you meant it that way.
but you're
right. So he's in the back of the end zone. He's got his man blanketed. Jordan Love extends the play. He tries, give him credit. He's trying to turn around and face the ball, which would mean it wouldn't be a pass interference. But there's nowhere for Christian Watson to go, so his arm gets kind of caught on him, and in the attempt to try and turn around, Love throws him the ball. Like, that was just bad luck, and I think it would have happened to a lot of guys. But most importantly, and what our buddy was dismissive of is how much better he has been. He had, seven or nine defensive holdings or pass interferences in the first month of the season. Since September, he's got one holding call. It was an offensive holding call when he was the gunner on a punt. Yep. He's got a pass interference call against Houston back in the beginning of November, and he's got this pass interference call, and that's it. If you want to see improvement, that's it. Weeks 5, 6, 7, and 8, he had no penalties. And he had one in week 9, one in week 10, well, one offensive penalty in week 9, a defensive penalty in week 10, a defensive penalty in week 14. This is improvement.
Oh, and he started the game as corner one when Carlton was out the other week. It flowers to the kid. Watch him work. Anybody still doubting him, just pay attention, and you'll see the growth, I promise.
Hey,
you guys take it easy. Have a great weekend. Appreciate taking the call.
Thank you, Andrew. Darius is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Darius.
Happy Victory Friday. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Lions fan. What a time to be a Ticket listener. And I listen all the time. And for us to dissect every good and bad, you know, it just feels great. I've been listening all day. So I just a couple of points. One, Tarion Arnold, man, he's a kid growing up in NFL. He's been, you know, guarding some of the best receivers out there. And let's face it, man, you know, your first pot of macaroni and cheese wasn't the best. It wasn't the cheesiest. The noodles were probably not that good. But let this guy continue to cook out there. And just for me listening all day, I want to go back to the parade. If we so happen to win the Super Bowl, the parade
would happen.
I've been listening all day trying to get in here, and I'm finally in. So I just want to say, we get to the Super Bowl, man. We get to that parade. It's got to start from the Silver Dome down Woodward all the way down.
Okay.
That was it.
All right. I got to tell you, I'm not a jinx guy at all, but let's not go planning parade routes. There is a long way to go.
Yeah, we're still grabbing linebackers off LinkedIn, so let's just slow down a little bit. It won last night.
Right.
I'm happy.
Right.
Let's just try to get healthy, all right?
Yeah. Let's go to Brad. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brad.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
How demoralized did these defenses have to be? I mean, Packers defense last night, Lions went 7-for-15 on third down, which isn't great from a Packers perspective. And then of all those, they went 4-out-of-5 on the fifth down and kicked a field goal. I mean, these Lions are like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers. They just keep coming. And that's got to be demoralizing. You think you got them stopped, and it goes, Jesus Christ, these guys are still coming at
really
us.
Close. Yes, they kind of are that way. They kind of are that way. I don't
that's
disagree.
All I got.
Yeah. Thank you for editing yourself. Mark is in Macomb and next on 97.1. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good. My son and I went to the game last night.
Awesome.
And actually got into the Lily Bowl. And I want to say we're about 8 rows up in, I think, 116. And it's the first time I've ever been to Ford Field, first Lions game I've been to probably since the Silver Dome. And I'm just telling you, it was crazy. But what was weird about it was almost like there was a second game going on while the real game was going on, because whenever it'd get the second or third down, everybody was already going, man, they got to score because you know he's going to go for it on fourth down. And then every single time that he did, it was like going, no, go for the three, go kick it. And then after they'd get the fourth down, it was like everybody was high-fiving and saying, yeah, no doubt, knew it all along, you know, never a doubt. It was really a rush, and it was a great time. And downtown Detroit was awesome. It was nice walking through it. And it was interesting because we had a Packers fan next to us, and he was out of Atlanta, and his son was a Lions fan, and he was all in his Lions gear. And they both had a great time. Everybody was high-fiving them, and it was just an all-around good time. And I will say, I heard somebody say earlier about the decibel level. We saw it, and I'm almost for sure that it broke the 116 at one point. But it was a great time, and you know, I want to thank my son Joshua for taking me to it. It was amazing.
He took you to it, huh?
Yeah, well, kind of, sort of. He paid for his, and I paid for mine. And believe me, it was more like a once-in-a-lifetime thing because that cost was steep for those
kids. I was about to say, what's it like to have your kid pay for their own thing? I'm not really sure what that's like. Hey, thanks, Mark. By the way, so, like, I went to look, I randomly grabbed Tariq Woolen and looked at the penalty log from his rookie season, and we talked about Terrion Arnold's 7 defensive holdings or pass interference in the first 5 weeks and 2 since. Tariq Woolen's first 5 weeks, he had 5 penalties. Pass interference, defensive holding. The first 5. So he had 5. And he had 1 the rest of the way. So Terrion Arnold, who's had 2 since 7 in the first week, it is getting better. I know my man didn't want to hear it, but it is getting better. So take it for what it's worth. Rico Beard, Jeff Rieger are in studio. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Good.
Yeah.
I heard the Lions won again.
Lions won again.
All they do is win.
I mean, honestly, who in their right mind would have been...
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Worried about this game. Like, come on.
Right.
What's the matter with anybody?
Dude, they had 4 guys last night making plays on defense that weren't Lions 1 week ago.
I don't know about you, Doug, but I had Zeke Turner making the biggest tackle of the game on my score sheet.
Did you?
I did.
Reed was coming wide open the back of the end zone if Zeke Turner doesn't get him down.
It's unbelievable.
It really
is. It's unbelievable how this team wins. It's and it's almost like...
No, it ain't almost.
Well, no, I mean, they just win. Nothing stops them.
You just can't stop this. Like, Doug, you know what this is? It's the and you experienced this last year with Michigan. Like, come on. You're not going to just run the ball constantly in Penn State for the second. Wait, it worked?
Yeah.
Okay, but just wait till you go up against Alabama. Your most secure punt return, like, he drops the ball and it just dies at the 3-inch line. Not in the end zone.
And he picks it up.
Right.
Like, and survives it.
What? Like, Ohio State, like, okay, this is going to be the year. Until it wasn't. There's no Jim Harbaugh for six games. That team just kept finding ways to win.
You surely aren't going to stop three NFL receivers in the national championship right. game.
And Michael Penix, an NFL, and you just did.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like. Just whatever.
Pretty great, though, wasn't it?
I am not complaining.
I am waiting for them to literally, for Ben Johnson to have the blindfold play where players just put on blindfolds.
And they run a play.
And I bet you it works.
They probably will. Hey, have a great weekend. Stay safe.
Connected.
Treat each other with respect. We leave you every Friday with a Gator Rant.